speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Are you a worrywart? If you're not, do you know someone who is constantly worrying about something? I had a granddad. We called him Papal Key. And my Papal Key worried about everything under the sun, especially as he got older. I remember when he retired from Smith Cabinet Factory in Salem, Indiana, that he had an old Ford pickup truck, 1971, if memory serves me correct, and that was his pride and joy. And in that, he would take it somewhere and come back, and he parked upon the top of a hill, but it was flat up there, and he would chalk his wheels. It was a standard transmission, but he would always set his emergency brake, but then he would chalk his wheels. And when I say wheels, I'm not talking about a wheel, wheels. Not two wheels, but all four wheels. And he would walk around the truck a number of times, kicking the tires, checking the chocks to make sure that they were all in place, and then he would walk around also checking the doors to make sure that they were all locked, and not one time, but just a number of times. He was a worrywart. And I remember that as I was a young boy, my mom and dad would say, "You're just like your Papal Key. You are a worrywart." And my sister shaking her head. And that was true, looking back over the course of my childhood. I worried about, it seemed like, just anything and everything. And in that, though, I still have concern from time to time, but I don't think that I worry, I'm looking at Dawn at this point, like what I used to. Why? Because I have learned as a Christian, to begin with, that God commands us not to worry. But then also that as Christians, worry says something about our relationship with God. And as we looked in regard to worrying, God wants us to place our trust and our full dependence upon Him. Well, what do we mean in regard to when we think about worrying? To begin with, worry and anxiety, as it is related in Scripture and in the ultimate understanding of what it means to worry, they mean the same. And we identify with anxiety as that it is oftentimes associated with levels of fear. Taking into consideration in the Old Testament Scripture in Genesis chapter 32, as Jacob is getting ready to be reacquainted with Esau, his brother, the Scripture identifies that Esau is coming with a large number of people, and what effect did that have upon his brother? The Scripture says that he had fear. He was worried about this reuniting with his brother. And in this, friends, God identifies to us as that we need not to worry and to have our love focused upon God. Why? Because with the right level of love, it casts out fear. As we think in regard to worry, I believe that distress oftentimes results from being harassed. We have in the Scripture a number of instances where God identifies concerning His people or even other people where that their fellow man, mankind has said certain things to these people that would have been, today we would say, bullying. And these individuals are distressed over the consequence or the result of what someone has said or even done to them. I can relate with that myself years ago. When I was in junior high, I was a much smaller individual than I am today, in height-wise and otherwise. And in that, was subject to a lot of picking on. And again, today they call it bullying. And in that, I'm going to also say that I did my number of picking also. But there was a certain situation where that these two individuals were picking on me on an ongoing basis. And this one said to me, and let me explain this too, I guess. When I went through junior high, we went to another building where 5th and 6th grade went, and you had to be trucked across town or bused across town to the high school to catch your bus. Well, on one instance, these two guys said to me, "If you ride the bus over to the high school tonight, when you get off, we're going to beat you up." I was worried about that. I had great fear come upon me. And they said that of a morning, and I worried about it all day long. So much so that whenever the bus came to take us over to the high school to catch the buses to go home, I didn't get on the bus. I walked over and missed my ride home. And my mother said, "What did you do that for?" It was because of fear and because of worry. And I know that I'm not alone. There are many people today who face great distress because of being harassed by individuals in life. Fear of the unknown may also lead to an individual to worrying. Thinking about things that we will not have any control over, or thinking about situations that might possibly come upon us, or playing situations out, and I can be the world's worst at this, thinking things through to a fault and trying to play out every scenario. We've got to be very careful with that. We need to think things through. We've got to be very understanding and to make sure that we put a lot of thought into our lives and all of that. I'm not saying that, but where I say that we've got to be careful is that if we think things through too much, that it can lead us to that level of worrying. I also want us to understand that worry can be sinful. As God identifies, I believe, in the context of what we're dealing with, where He commands us not to worry. But yet at the same time, worry does not always signify that we have sinned in the sight of God. There's a fine line between being concerned and that of anxiety or worry. And God wants us to be people who are sincere. God expects us to be individuals who are not only genuine, but also that we are concerned for our fellow man, and even concerned for our lives and our families. And in that, we've got to be careful to not allow that concern to go over or to cross that line to where we would be anxious or enter into what God would identify as sinful anxiety. As we think about the things that people will allow themselves to worry about, some people worry about the trivial matters. I think about Martha and Mary, and the situation where that Jesus is in their presence and Martha is trying to be a servant. Mary's being the servant. And it's said concerning Martha is that she is worried about the things that really and truly don't amount to a hill of beans. And I think that that's not only true with what we read here in Luke chapter 10 and verse 41. So many people today can get caught up in the things that, when, as we would use that expression, rubber meets the road, it doesn't really amount to anything. But still in their mind, they allow their thoughts to dwell on things to where it really troubles them. That's all they think about day and night. It becomes a burden to them and maybe even to the people that are surrounding them. Also, sometimes people think about things and worry about things that may never happen. We see things in our minds that we fear, and those fears then lead us to say, you know, if only this, this, and this add up, then this greatest fear of mine is going to happen. And we play it through in our minds to where that it becomes not just a possibility, and maybe even the slimmest of possibility, but to where in a mind we're saying it's inevitable, it's going to take place. And with this, I think that we have a situation, not only this one, but others in Scripture, with Jonah. God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh. And in Jonah's mind, he knew the Ninevites. He realized that they were a wicked, evil, corrupt people. And they were with their fellow man. And he feared, I think, for his own life. And yet at the same time, because of his fear and worry, he didn't go and do what God commanded him to do. He went in the opposite direction, Tarsus. And yes, we do know that later he went back and did what God commanded him to do, and he was all right. Now, we also know that he regretted what it is that God had done in relenting upon the burden of Nineveh. But in this, people today still worry about things that may never happen. In this too, a lot of times we find is that people will worry about things that they are personally facing. And this one I can understand, because this one is a big one for me even. take into consideration Jehoshaphat, a ruler in Judah. And if you look at his dynasty, his rule, beginning over in 2 Samuel chapter 20, he has done really well, and things are really good, if you would, in and amongst Judah. But the context reveals, if you go back, is that this man told Israel, you need to be of good strength. Why? He says, because God is near. He should have carried that saying, that advice that he gave to Israel, Judah, onto chapter 20 as he's dealing with his enemies. The oppressors are getting ready to come in upon him, and he is beside himself. Great fear. Why? Because he's personally getting ready to go through a trial, a situation, and he doesn't have, at this level or this point, the greatest trust in God, loving God to that level that God would expect and that he would need in order for that anxiety not to be a part of him and that situation that he's in. And you and I go through a number of things in life. We face these things personally, either with ourselves or our families, and it can bring distress, worry, or anxiety upon us. But also, a lot of times we allow ourselves to be anxious or to worry over things that no one has any control over at all. Isn't that what we find with Job? Job was an upright man in all of his generation. And we know that Satan, though, comes in and tempts him, not once, but twice, at least in the context, to really bring the hurt upon him, not only in losing his family and all that he has, but even to afflict him personally, physically. And we see the great distress that he's in over the idea that he questions and he lashes out. Now, I want to identify that he continues to maintain his integrity. If you read all the way through the book of Job, he maintains his level of integrity. But still, I believe that we read a level of anxiety or worry from this individual over something that he had no control over. And the bottom line, as you draw to chapter 42, he comes to understand that God is bigger than him and that God is bigger than the situation that he's been going through. And all he has to do is to trust in God to lead him through this, and he will be a stronger man. And friends, you and I know as we draw to the close of Job 42 is that he is also a man who is greater blessed as a result of the things that he has gone through. I want to draw our attention to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34, where Jesus is speaking at the Sermon on the Mount. And in the context here, you might have a subtitle in your Bible that says, "Do not worry." And I believe that that's a proper rendition of what's taking place here. What is it that the Lord tells us in regard to us and our life here and our relationship with Him? To begin with, in Matthew 6 and verse 25, He says, "Do not worry about your life." And that's what we worry about, isn't it? We worry about our life or the things that are affecting our lives with our family and our friends. And we worry to the point to where it controls our thoughts and it dictates even our lives to where that it takes away from our focus on God. And if it takes away from our focus on God, it takes away from our trust in God and it takes away from our work in the kingdom. And God sees all of that and He wants us to understand the significance and seriousness in regard to worrying about the things in life. Why shouldn't we worry about the things in life? In Jesus' words here, He shows us how God cares for His creation and the provisions that He offers for all that He has created. He begins with the birds. He says God has created the birds, and God makes sure that the birds don't go hungry. They always have enough, more than enough, to keep them going, to sustain their life here. And He gives an illustration also concerning the lilies of the field. He says, look at them. He says, those lilies that God has created, He's not only put them out there for us to behold, the beauty and all, but who's behind their survival? Who's behind the beauty that is there? God is working in His creation and through nature And then he goes on to identify is that man is much greater than anything that God has ever created. Why does Jesus say that man is greater than all of these? Because if God provides for His creation and creatures other than man, and we're superior, we're on top. And we are, aren't we? The Genesis account tells us that. We have been created after our God's image. No other creature that He created has that level of love that has been bestowed upon them by God. We are greater than anything that God has created, and for that reason then, God will provide for us. Now that doesn't mean that we're going to have everything that we want, and if we're worried about not having everything that we want, then we've got our priorities wrong, right? But what God says is that we're going to have everything that we need to sustain us in life and to keep us focusing upon Him, and that we ought to praise Him for these things. It's interesting too, if you note Matthew 6 and verse 30, Jesus shows us here is that worrying signifies is that there is a lack of faith. You of little faith. Faith is the foundation upon which you and I have a relationship with God. Those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. That faith is initiated or begins by our reading and understanding of the Scripture. Romans 10 and verse 17. So then now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And our faith is to continue to abound, to grow, to strengthen as we go in and throughout life. And still at the same time, we find Christians on all levels, from new converts, novice, to mature Christians, that sometimes there we, I'll include myself into that, we can be worrywarts. And God says that we need to think about this as it would pertain to our faith and our relationship with God. How can we overcome the sin that can be associated with worry? To begin with, I think that we need to give time to a situation. A lot of times, what we do is that we allow our burdens to come on us and we start to think things through to a fault, and we want to make some sort of a harsh or rash decision. We want to jump before maybe we should. And what God tells us is that we need to stand back and just to allow ourselves to think things through properly, and also to give Him time to work. Isn't that also what we find at the Red Sea with the children of Israel? They look back and who do they see? They see the Egyptians coming upon them. And what did they do? They didn't look to God and say, God, You brought us this far. We trust You're going to get us out. What did they do? They looked to Moses and said, You brought us out here to die? Were there not graves meant for us back in Egypt? We could have died just as easily back there, and now we're going to die here slaughtered at the Red Sea. God delivered Israel in that given situation, and God wants us to stand back and to allow Him time to work in the situations, and also so that we will think matters too. But then in like figure, I think that you and I would do well if we would sleep on our circumstance, the things that's troubling us, and sleep on it and to see if this helps. Things always look darker of a night. And I'm not talking about just the fact that the sun's gone down. I'm talking about in here, within our minds. Things typically, or at least this is the way it works with me, is that of a night, it seems like there's no hope from time to time, especially if we've been dealing with a situation for an extended period of time and we've exhausted ourselves, not only with that situation, but with everything else that life lays upon us. And what God assures us is that tomorrow's a new day. And as a result of our being able to sleep, I tell people when they're in the hospital or recovering, rest is the best medicine. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not saying don't do what the doctor says to do. But rest is a way that God helps to heal the body. And in that, we need to make sure that we get sufficient amount of rest each night so that our body's able to do what God commands us to do. what He wants us to do as His children. But if we're dealing with anxiety or worry, rest will make a huge difference in the morning as to the way maybe we will even look at things and are being able to put the pieces together to help us to deal with the situation to bring about a more positive solution to the situation that is at hand, that has brought the trouble upon us. But then also pray for God's guidance on matters in life. There's a story of a barber who had been barbering, if you would, in a town for many years. And he had his business established. He had his clientele coming back. He didn't rely on people like me who's bald. And he was doing very well until this big chain haircutting business came in. And immediately they put up this sign that said, "All haircuts, $3. Well, he was charging $10 at that time. And he thought to himself, $3? There's no way that I can cut hair for $3, not having been used to cutting for $10 and all of my expenses, overhead and such. So this goes on for about a month. And we know what they were trying to do. They were trying to run him out of business. And he's thinking to himself, I'm not going to let that happen. So he hires a consultant to come in and to consult with and to say, how can I overcome this? And the consultant says, give me a little time to think about it. Give me just a few days. Well, a couple of days pass and he doesn't hear anything from the consultant. And he says, have you come up with anything other than me just closing the doors? And he says, well, that is an option. But he says, actually, I've made you a sign that I want you to hang out today. The guy says, well, what does the sign say? And the sign says, I fix $3 haircuts. I like that. All of us need guidance, a consultant, and God is ready and available 24/7 to be our guide, to help us through whatever situation that we are facing, to help bring about a negative situation that we might find ourselves in or feel that we're in, unto a positive, more acceptable way of life. You see, the bottom line, whenever it comes to worry, is trusting in God and turning everything completely over to God. We are to bring all of our burdens, 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 7, to the one who is the greatest burden bearer of all, and that is Jesus Christ. Friends, when Jesus died on the cross, He identified is that He has taken, given us an opportunity to have our sins removed, the greatest burden of all. And if He's capable of that, isn't He also capable of helping us through the trials that we face in life? I'm reminded of the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 11, and verse 28, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're worrying in your life, or if you have people who worry in their life, help them to see the way that God is there. And pray to God if you're dealing with it, or encourage them, pray to God to help them through, or you through, the situation that seems so dark. And we know that the devil is on that dark side to destroy our faith. Worry. Are you a worrywart? I hope and pray that if you are, you will overcome that in your trust in the Lord. Are you a Christian? If you've not obeyed Christ in baptism, then you're outside of the church in need of God's salvation. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way tonight, we invite you with His call as